to can be found on page 1132 in the Church Bibles. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10, found also on page 1000 in the Church Bibles, entitled, "Jesus Has Risen." After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Just thank you for David coming this morning and the words that you've laid on his heart for us to hear. Open our hearts and minds to receive this spiritual food, that we may go away from this place enriched and empowered in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. If I haven't met you, my name's David Beals, and I'm an old retired minister who sometimes gets wheeled on all over the place. I don't know what your favourite curry is. Mine's Rogan Josh. You know, every time I go to an Indian restaurant, I look down the menu and I think, korma, Jal Fraser, Rogan Josh. Yeah, I'm going to have Rogan Josh. Back in 1999, I lived in Australia. Jamie, my wife's Australian. We lived in Melbourne, where every year, the first Tuesday of November, is the Melbourne Cup. One year, there was a horse running called Rogan Josh. I thought, yeah, I'm going to back that horse. I'll back it every time at the Indian restaurant. So that evening, having seen Rogan Josh win the Melbourne Cup, 1999, you can Google it, go home and look, I went out for dinner with some friends. I said, "Yeah, my horse, Rogan Josh, came through." They said, "How much did you win?" I said, "Oh, I forgot to put the bet on." And being an Australian, Neil, who was there, my friend, he said, "There's nothing more pathetic than the bloke that chooses the horse but doesn't put the bet on." Faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Today I'm going to ask you, are you going to put your faith in the one who rose from the dead? In amongst whatever doubts you might have about whether Jesus did rise from the dead. To be honest, the story of the crucifixion, I have a love-hate relationship with the story of the crucifixion. I hate the violence, but I love the consequence. With the resurrection, it's easier, but I'm kind of divided because my mind has to grapple with the reality of how did Jesus rise from the dead, while my soul receives, by faith, the wonder and joy of knowing that eternal life begins here and now. A while ago, I played a game of real tennis. You'll have to Google that if you don't know what that is. Real tennis. And my partner, Frank, who I was playing against, he said to me, afterwards over a cup of coffee, why do you believe in the resurrection? It took me about 40 minutes, but I explained why I believed in the resurrection. Don't worry, we're not going to be here that long today. But just call me up if you want that explanation. I think it's of vital importance, to be honest. And Jamie said afterwards that the whole coffee shop could hear what I was saying because I made sure Frank could hear me, and apparently my voice was echoing around the place. So, it's the soul, though, that I want to focus on today. Will your soul receive the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead and that changes everything? Now, we know, you've probably noticed, there's a few problems in the world today. Interesting thing about the moment of crucifixion is that history changed when, as Jesus died, gave up his breath, breathed his last, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, as it were from heaven to earth. In that temple in Jerusalem, the curtain divided the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was meant to dwell. And you could only go in there if you were the high priest once a year. Nobody else could go in there. But at that moment, when Jesus died, it was broken down. The problems in our world today, I believe, are because of the barrier between God and the human race. Paul explained this, and that reading might have felt a bit confusing, but he said he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justification, meaning to put us right with God. I want to say three ways of understanding those words, that verse. The first way is that the barrier between us and God is broken down because of the cross and the resurrection. In our normal, and I have to say sinful state, because we are all sinners, in our sinful state, we are separated from God because God is holy and cannot have sin in his presence. So what hope is there for us? Well, the great news is that because of Jesus' death, the barrier is broken down. There was one time, a long time ago, when we lived in Australia, actually, when my son Kim was about 7 years old, I think, the door to his bedroom, the handle on the outside was broken. You could open the bedroom door from the inside, but not from the outside. Now, because I'm completely useless at DIY, it stayed like that for quite a long time. And there was one day when I had an argument with him. Well, you know, fathers and sons occasionally have that row, don't they? And I don't know what the argument was about. It was probably something completely rubbish. And I don't know if it was my fault or his. But he stood in his bedroom with the bedroom door closed. And there I was outside the door shouting, Kim, will you open the door? And I could hear this little voice on the inside. No! Will you open the door? No. Anyway, this went on for a while, and in the end, he opened the door, and we embraced and had a big hug, and we were friends again. Did I stop loving my son when there was that barrier between us? No. Of course I didn't. Did God stop loving us when there was a barrier between us and him? Because we hadn't turned away from our sins and turned towards him. No. He continued to love us passionately at the cross and with the resurrection. The barrier is broken down so that God and humankind can embrace once again. It's what Paul says in that next verse. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, that means being made right through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Second way of understanding the cross and resurrection is about whispers of heavenly reality. Now, that gospel reading we heard about the resurrection there, it said there was an earthquake and an angel appeared, and the soldiers were so frightened that they fell to the ground like dead men. I can remember talking about that in a church in Nottingham a few years ago, and I brought the children out to the front and we sort of told that story, and when it came, they shook and collapsed like dead men. All the children shook and collapsed like dead people. That was very useful because they could stay there quietly while I talked to the adults for the next 10 minutes. And every time one of them so much as moved, oh, you're dead. And that put them back into quietness once again. Now that earthquake and that momentous event at that moment has echoes that have gone through history. And today, we can hear the whispers, the whispered echoes of the resurrection. I'm going to tell you a story about how I heard those whispers, just a whisper. And it has to do actually with Mark's Tay and Aldham as well. In 1966, my little sister Rosemary died of leukemia. She was only 4 years old. And over the next few years, my dad in particular was very, very sad and was mourning her loss. 3 years later, 1969, I went on holiday with a friend of mine from Colchester. And we went out to the Swiss Alps and were staying in a village called Les Diablerets. A telegram came one day to say that my father had had a serious stroke and was in hospital. The next day, there was a knock on the door very early in the morning. Il y a un telegram pour vous. That's what the boy was shouting. There's a telegram for you. No mobile phones in those days. There was only one public phone in the village. So the telegram, I thought, could be news of my dad's death. And my heart was thumping in my chest as I lay in bed early in the morning. And I was going, God, let him be alive, because I loved and respected my father. Anyhow, later that morning, my friend's father called me over and said, I'm afraid your father's gone. So we walked up the hill to the post office in the little village, Les Diablerets, in order that I could phone home to my mum. As we walked up, I don't know if it was a moment of adolescent awakening, but I saw these incredible Alps, huge mountains. And although I felt very tiny in comparison with those great mountains, I sensed, and I don't know how I sensed this, I sensed that even though I had lost my earthly father, I had a father who put together this extraordinary universe and these wonderful mountains. Some years later, I belonged to a little fellowship called the Mark's Tay Christian Fellowship that used to meet in the old rectory for a while. And on the fringe of that fellowship was a couple who lived in Aldham at the time, elderly couple, called Wally and Jem Blowers. Now, Jem Blowers had been my primary school teacher when I was about 5 years old. And rekindling a friendship with her was great at that time. She told me, this must have been early 70s, I can't remember the year, and it was probably here at the Mark's Tay Christian Fellowship, but I don't remember the exact place. She told me that one night she'd had a dream, must have been in the late 60s, probably 1969. In the dream, she saw my sister Rosemary standing in a beautiful garden surrounded by flowers. And she said to her, "What are you doing?" Rosemary replied in the dream, I'm waiting for Daddy. When I heard the story of that dream, that Jem Blowers, who'd prayed for our family over many years, I think, that Jem Blowers told me, I was assured of the reality of the resurrection life. I don't know what whispers of heavenly reality you have heard, but be sure, if you seek God, if you get your heart right with God, you will hear whispers of the heavenly reality in the way that God wants you to hear. And the third way of understanding the cross and resurrection is what Paul says in the next verse. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have access to unbelievable, unfathomable grace. We don't have to earn it. It's a free gift. Back in the 1930s, there was a mayor of New York called Fiorello LaGuardia. You might have heard of the airport in New York named after him. LaGuardia was mayor, but he used to go down to the courthouse on a Friday night. And sometimes he sat on the bench there because he had a legal background, like a magistrate. And one night during the Depression years, it was January 1935. So it was winter, it was cold. It was in a very poor neighborhood where there was a lot of crime and a lot of desolation. A grandmother was brought before LaGuardia, accused of stealing a loaf of bread. In her defense, she said, I had to steal because my son-in-law has left my daughter. My daughter is sick. My two grandchildren were starving. What else could I do? But the grocery store owner came along and said to LaGuardia, you have to find her guilty. If she's found not guilty, that will open the door to thieves, pickpockets, robbers, shoplifters all over the place. She must be found guilty. LaGuardia said, you're right. She is guilty and therefore must be punished. And he said, right, you're fined $10 or 10 days in jail. Even while he was saying that, he took off his sombrero, for which he was famous, and he took out his wallet and extracted a $10 note. He put it in his sombrero, and then he passed the hat around the courthouse and said, I fine everyone in this courthouse 50 cents for living in a town where a grandmother has to steal a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. And everyone, including a red-faced grocery store owner, put 50 cents in. At the end of the session, the grandmother was given $47.50. Doesn't sound all that much in today's currency, but back then that was quite a bit in Depression New York. Now that's simply a story of grace. Yes, she was guilty. Yes, she had to be punished. Yes, the heart of LaGuardia and the heart of everybody in the courthouse opened up to her, and she went out with riches, comparatively. In the same way, yes, we have fallen short of God's perfection. But because Jesus Christ has credited to us righteousness, that means being right with God, we are forgiven, and then the overflowing grace includes the blessings of knowing God and having peace with God. I started off with my story of the horse Rogan Josh, on whom I'd failed to place a bet. Will you take the risk? Will you put your faith in the risen Lord Jesus today and entrust your life over to him so that his resurrection life and power can become more and more evident in your days on earth? The purpose of the resurrection is primarily so that God can put heaven into us. But in the end, the doors of heaven are opened so that we can walk into the closer presence of God. Thank you for having me to speak today.